Good morning. Welcome to our worship this morning, in person and online. If you were given $1 million, what would you do with it? God has made it possible to have a life which cannot have an earthly value attached to it. What impact does this have for you? Something for us to ponder as we go through our worship service this morning during the second Sunday in Lent. The worship service is found in our bulletin along with the hymns. If you're watching online, it's found on our website under the Staying Connected to God's Word link. Or if you receive our weekly email, you can find the links to the bulletin along with the Bible study and weekly news and other helpful information on that email. God bless us in our worship of Him as we turn our attention to our opening hymn, Amazing Grace. We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness.
Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God.
It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Almighty God, you see that we have no power to defend ourselves. Guard and keep us both outwardly and inwardly from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Our first lesson for this second Sunday in Lent comes to us from Genesis chapter 28. What kind of dreams do you have? What was the point, the message that God was trying to get across to Jacob in this dream? Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." The word of the Lord. Let us not underestimate what God can do for us in the face of suffering. This reminder from Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. Read verse 8 with me. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Please rise for the gospel reading. It's from the Holy Gospel of St. Mark, the 8th chapter, pointing out the fact that Jesus indeed knew his mission, his purpose for being here on earth. We read, "He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. 'Get behind me, Satan,' he said. 'You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns.' Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, 'Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance, and this is possible from God our Father, through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to focus our attention for a few minutes back on the gospel reading, where we hear once again these words from Mark chapter 8. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and that redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thanks to the work of the Holy Spirit using the means of grace, the gospel in word and in sacrament brings us into a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and through that same means of grace keeps us in that relationship unto eternal life. How would you define the word commitment? And now this is a give and take. How would you define the word commitment? Being devoted to something or someone. Okay? As you think of your own way to put that, another one?
No matter what.
No matter what. Okay? Good. Along with that thought process, how would you define the word loyalty? Any takers? Being committed to someone or something. Okay? In its truest form, if you look online, for example, or if you looked in a dictionary, for the word commitment, it says dedicated to a cause or activity, devotion. So, what we pointed out. And then for the word loyalty, it emphasizes a strong feeling of support or allegiance. So again, we're in line with how it's usually understood. One more word, looking for a definition. Cross. How would you define the word cross? Christian. Okay. Suffering. What image comes to mind when you hear the word cross? Christ's crucifixion, right? For us as Christians, that for sure jumps out at us. But again, the word cross can be defined in multiple ways depending on the context. For some of us, we will think of the physical crosses that we bear in this world, along with spiritual crosses for the sake of Christ. We'll get into that a little bit more as we dig into this text. And then there is the cross of Christ. With those words, commitment and loyalty, would you say that you have a commitment and a loyalty issue? Thanks for being honest. And do we have such when it comes to Jesus, our Lord? Ponder that as, again, we dig a little deeper into these words. Then he, Jesus, called the crowd to him. Along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me, Jesus, and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. As we reflect on these words under the heading, "Take up your cross and follow Jesus," note also what Jesus has done for you. And as we do that, note also what Jesus expects of you, for us and of us. What has he done for you, for us? The entire world population, past, present, and future. He gives his disciples insight into why he had come into this earth. Jesus knew all along, but his disciples were not always ready to hear it. And as his disciples were getting ready to make him an earthly king, I mean, Lord, you're feeding us with the snap of your fingers. And you're able to heal us just like that. Who needs to stand in line for a shot when you got Jesus with you? Jesus says, that's not why I came. I came to die. And before he died, he would suffer. And oh, did he suffer. And who did he suffer for? Look in the mirror. Why would he do that? Because he loves you. If you ever doubt his love, remember the cross. Why he went there. For you, to pay the price demanded on account of our sins. Sins which separate us from God. A clear example of that separation needed goes back to the Garden of Eden. I mean, Adam and Eve had this perfect relationship with God, their creator, their provider. And then they ruined it. And they were separated from God. And they were not able to reconcile themselves with God. God had to intervene, and he did. Genesis 3:15, and speaking to the serpent. What would happen to him, and what would be the result for us, people of all time? And here's the fulfillment. He came to suffer and die as part of his humiliation. He who had everything gave it up for a time so that we could have everything. And he builds on that later on in this text. What else has Jesus done for you, for us, in addition to coming to this earth to suffer and die? He also, after 3 days, would rise again. And so while he's telling the disciples then, he's also telling his disciples and all people today too, yes, I came to suffer and die for payment of sin, but I also came to rise again so that you could live as I live. He gives us hope to face the trials and the tribulations, and in particular the crosses that we might have to and will bear for the name of Jesus. Because Jesus was willing to come to this earth to suffer and die and then rise again, he has made it possible for us to have the gift of life. And through this gift of life given to us through the means of grace, God equips us for this life, to deal with the trials and tribulations, and in particular with this text in mind, even deeper than that, the crosses, the persecution the intimidation that comes as we adhere to the name of Christ. Those trials and those tribulations and that persecution, those crosses for the name of Christ come as a result of sin. We see and feel its impact day in and day out, and it can wear us down, can it not? And so our strength to endure does not come from within us, but from Christ and what He has done for us and what He gives to us and refreshes us with. And so we look forward to gathering together for worship, to be built up again in what Christ has done for us. We look forward to opportunities to be in the Word on our own, day in and day out, for Bible discussions and more. So again, that we can be built up in what Christ has done for us. To be like that person who's like a tree planted by streams of water, thanks to constant meditation on the Word of the Lord. Take up your cross and follow Jesus, knowing what He has done for you in His state of humiliation and in His state of exaltation. He has given us grace living, the ability to live in God's undeserved love. And with that grace, we are equipped to face the trials and the tribulations and the crosses for the sake of Christ. Brothers and sisters, don't trade that in, because there is no better deal for us to have. Oh, there are religions and philosophies that are out there which will try and promise you a better life, but they cannot deliver. Because when you look at those other religions and philosophies that are out there trying to offer you a better life, does it also include eternal life? Does it include a sure hope for this life to endure what is going on in this life? Does it offer answers to why such is happening to us? Again, things happen to us, consequences happen in our life because of just sin in general. But also consequences come because of our specific sins. The Bible makes that clear. God does not hold back any punches. And so Jesus had to come and suffer and die, not for His own sin, but for our sins. And the deadly consequence that that sin has brought about. The wages of sin is death. Physical, spiritual, eternal. But in Christ we have life. And we're able to live this life to the full now already, as we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And as the Lord reminds us as well in Romans 8, our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the eternal glory that awaits us. So don't trade in what God has given to you through Jesus. As we endure trials and tribulations, and specifically crosses for the name of Christ. So note also then what Jesus expects of you. He expects commitment and loyalty at all costs. In Matthew 22, for example, how much are we to love the Lord? With our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole head. And don't forget to love your neighbor too, as you love yourself. He expects total commitment, loyalty, loyalty. Not just, oh, you know, it's Sunday, I guess I'll show my commitment to the Lord, but then, Lord, I got the rest of the days of the week. Or today, I'm feeling pumped for Jesus. The next day, not so much. Again, thankfully, our relationship with God does not depend on our feelings, because if it did, where would we be when all is said and done? Thankfully, it rests on the work of Jesus. What He was willing to do and has done for us and has given to us by grace. And so through the work of the Holy Spirit, connected to what Jesus has done for us, we can be committed and we can be loyal to Christ. We can take up the cross and follow Jesus. We can endure the persecution that comes for the name of Christ. Think of some of the persecution that has come into your life or a family member is going through. It might be when you were in school and someone asked you what you're doing for the weekend. Or on Wednesday night, oh, you're going to a Bible study? Oh, you're one of those people? I suppose you're going to tell me that God created the world in 6 days too, huh? Or family members, don't even talk to me about that stuff. You can come over and bring the spaghetti and meatballs, but don't use that as an end to talk about Jesus. And don't talk to me about lifestyles. I will live whatever lifestyle I want to live. Because if God is really a God of love, then He'll be okay with that. But then they turn around and hold other people accountable. This whole cancel culture and everything else that's going on. In the name of whose love? And what really is at the heart of love? God's love in particular, it is forgiveness. He's not out to cancel anybody. He's out to redeem everybody. And He has through Jesus. Can any one of us claim to be perfect? Especially when we measure up to God? No. All of us have a deep need for what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And so the importance of what Jesus says, to deny yourself, is that easy to do? I mean, by nature, we're full of ourselves, and life is all about me. I want to talk about me. I want to dwell on me. And you want to listen to me, so we think. When Jesus says, you need to listen to me. And so deny yourself, your own ambitions. It's not wrong to be ambitious. It's not wrong to follow a career and family goals and so forth, but not at the expense of a relationship with Jesus. Not in place of. It goes back to the first commandment. God has given us all this to enjoy, but not to take the place of. Follow Jesus, even when that cross gets heavy, in the school setting, in the family setting, in the work setting. Keep in mind the big picture, because Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when He comes in His Father's glory with the holy angels, and He will come. But He also knows that we need this reminder and encouragement and sometimes push, because the world is not for us but against us. Note how He describes the world, the sinful and adulterous generation. The evidence is all around us as it tries to cancel the church. But what endures? Peter reminds us by inspiration, the Word endures. People and ideas come and go, and the ideas that the world throws out there, those are nothing new, right? Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. How many attempts over the years have been made to get rid of the Word, to get rid of Christ, and who's still here? And what's still here? So God help us to take up our cross and follow Jesus, to not be ashamed of Him. Again, not easy, but possible as we stay connected to Christ. The pressures are real, and sometimes those pressures are even more intense nowadays than they were maybe a few years ago. But again, nothing new as we look at the history of the early church and the persecution they endured for the name of Christ. And you think of believers throughout the world today who are enduring great trial and tribulation, crosses, death even, for the name of Christ. And who through the Holy Spirit, thankfully, are willing to take up that cross and stay with Jesus. Rightly so, we ought to expect crosses for the name of Christ. Jesus doesn't hide that. And that's what he expects of us, rightly so. All that we accomplish here on earth may have a purpose, but it's all temporary. Really, all that we have here on earth that we have been given is to serve with the eternal life in mind. Use what, in Luke, we're told, our earthly wealth and wisdom to make friends for eternal life. As you go in the week ahead, how can you do that? How can you use what God has put before you in your earthly life and use that to help make friends for eternal life? Time to pray? Time to be in the Word to equip yourselves for when the time it comes to witness to family or friends? Reflecting on the finances that God has given to you for local and world mission work. Just offering a word of encouragement to someone who may need that word. The Jesus reputation that we have, holding on to Him, that is one that keeps on going. Keeps on giving. Keeps on living. So take up your cross, dear friends, and follow Jesus in this life into the next. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's confess our Christian faith boldly and confidently using the words of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 9. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Just want to take this opportunity to thank God for you and the generous support that you are providing through the gifts that God enables to help us locally proclaim the gospel as well as worldwide through our congregation mission offerings. So to God be the glory and the praise as He continues to allow us to do His work here and elsewhere. We continue with the prayer of the church. Heavenly Father, You loved the world and gave Your Son to liberate us from sin and death by His obedient death on the cross. Lord of the church, we thank You for the treasure of the gospel. By Your Spirit, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us pray for those who carry a cross in the name of Christ and face ridicule and persecution for the sake of the kingdom. Missionaries and chaplains, young people who stand up for what is right in the face of pressure to do what is wrong, and all who pay a high price for their faith and their values as Christians.
By Your Spirit, O Lord, grant them patience and endurance.
Let us pray for those who carry heavy burdens in life, the sick and the chronically ill, the depressed and the lonely, those torn by conflict and personal relationships, those victimized by war and injustice, and all who face the terrors of life with a heavy heart.
Grant them peace, O Lord,
Let us pray for those who care for others, pastors and counselors, physicians and nurses, social workers and caring friends, all who feed the hungry, comfort the hurting, and stand beside the dying. Lord, take our silver and our gold, not a mite would I with we withhold. Take our intellect and use every power as you shall choose. Take our love, our Lord, we pour, at your feet its treasure store. Take ourselves and we will be ever only all for you. Lord, physician of body and soul, we commend to your care Sherry Wheezy and Betty Arney, who have been hospitalized this past week, along with Susan, the sister of Steve Ennis, who is having heart surgery this week. Bless the tests, the procedures, the recoveries of these ladies, and refresh them with the peace which transcends all understanding, a peace which we are able to have through Jesus our Lord. Lord, we thank you for the eternal victory you have made possible through Jesus your Son, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, you make that victory personal. Thank you for this victory given to the son of Cliff Slittenhart. Jeremy was taken during what is considered by us to be the prime of life. And so here is another reminder to always be prepared for the time when we will have to meet you. Pour out your love and the peace which can only come through you upon this family. Refresh them with your good news and bless their witness among family and friends. Thank you for the birthdays being celebrated this week. Continue to fill our lives with good things in addition to the gift of faith. And thank you for blessing the marriages being celebrated in our midst. As you have forgiven us, may our husbands and wives be forgiving of one another as we strive to live our lives as reflections of you. Lord, help us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Keep us faithful even to the point of death, that we may receive the crown of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We pray. Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. God grant that indeed as we take up our cross and follow him. Just a few announcements. So wrapping up our Bible discussion on how to interpret and study the Bible. Wrapping that up, Lord willing, today, 9:15 to 9:50. You can also find it online during the week. And next week, Lord willing, we will begin our discussion on the book 1 Corinthians. Studies for all ages can be found on our website and weekly news, the information for such studies, so keep that in mind as well as in the back of the bulletin. See the weekly news for other events and meetings that are taking place here at St. Mark's, as well as see the reminder for our third midweek Lenten service this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Food Truck Friday and movie this past Friday, it was a hit. The weather was great. God be praised for that. Good fellowship. Everyone safely distanced, at least overall. Food truck was great, so we look forward to doing something like that again, hopefully next month. That's the plan. Just a reminder, as we noted last week, the Board of Child Discipleship and the Coordinating Council have a recommendation for the congregation and then the voters to reflect on and to act on regarding our Lutheran Elementary School. We've been blessed with a pickup in enrollment from the start of the year, and also we're looking strong going into next school year. And so the recommendation is to continue with the school as we have been doing this year, thankfully. And if enrollment continues to increase, we may be coming back to the congregation with another addition. But again, step by step, but we're just trying to basically say, here's the platform. Give the BCD and the Coordinating Council some flexibility to react to the changing dynamics of education and society norms and protocols today. So that's what's coming up for discussion on March 7th following the late service. So God be praised for that. Hopefully you'll have an opportunity to encourage one another during the week, especially those who maybe have fallen by the wayside. Give them a call, a jingle, a little nudge, a reminder of taking up their cross and following Jesus ongoing. Just to wrap up some exciting stuff that's been going on with the school, our principal, Mr. Vo, put together a video, so enjoy it.
St. Mark's family, it's Mr. Vogt, and I wanted to give you an update about what has been happening here on our campus every day. We realize we haven't been giving you an update in regards to the ministry of our school, so today we're going to do that. We're going to give you a view of the past as well as a view as to what we would like to do for the remainder of this school year. On August 24th, we started our school year virtually with 51 students enrolled in our school. It was a blessing to see both our students and our teachers do everything possible to get online and continue their education. Then on September 8th, we applied for our in-person learning waiver. We had to do that through the Sacramento County Public Health Department. We were excited to announce that on September 17th, the Sacramento County approved our in-person instruction waiver. You can find all of our COVID-19 protocols on our school website. Then on September 28th, kindergarten through sixth grade was allowed to come on our campus and enjoy in-person learning. However, our seventh and eighth graders at the time were still required to be on virtual learning. Luckily, on October 19th, we were very blessed that our 7th and 8th graders were able to come back and join us for in-person learning. As of today, we have 64 students enrolled at St. Mark's Lutheran School, and we are extremely blessed to have these students as part of our school family. As a result of our students doing the best they can with our COVID protocols, we have had zero positive cases of COVID-19. God be praised for the health and safety of our students on our campus. So what have we done with the rest of our school year so far? Well, we came up with a goal of trying to return to as much normalcy as possible, and we feel we have done that to the best of our ability. All of our classes, except for physical education, are being taught here at St. Mark's Lutheran School. We also had a spelling bee in which 8th grader Beata took first place. We also have taken our first round of mapped standardized testing. We did want to celebrate our Christmas season as best as we possibly could while still being healthy and safe. Therefore, we had our students create a mural painting that many of you saw in the gym window. We also created a Christmas caroling video in which 25 copies were sent to area nursing homes, as well as a letter and Christmas cards from our students. We had a lot of positive feedback from that. We also created a children's Christmas service virtually where we had our students go through the Christmas program and worship our God, and that was made available to all of you. We also got to celebrate Spirit Week here on our campus, where our students got to dress up in pajamas, Western clothes, jersey and jeans, or even get to represent their favorite character from a book, movie, or TV show. But most importantly, our students also got to show their school spirit by dressing in their navy and gold for Lion Pride Day. All of Spirit Week was leading up to one big activity, which was our Geography Bee. We were very blessed to do this in a different format using Kahoot, an online trivia service. And it worked out very well where our 3rd through 8th graders participated, and Gwen, an 8th grader, ended up winning the competition. Throughout all these amazing events that we've had at our school, behind the scenes, our Board of Child Discipleship and Administration of St. Mark's had to have some very difficult discussions. Due to COVID-19, the drop of enrollment, as well as the uncertainty of our ministry financial plan, we had to have the discussion about the future of our school. Our Board of Child Discipleship met many times and did extensive research looking into different ways to continue the ministry of St. Mark's. We also placed many ads out there on Facebook and other social media websites. We also having had our open house, like we talked about earlier, where families came onto our campus and got to know a little bit about our school. Well, thanks to recruitment efforts and the thoughts and prayers of many people, like last Sunday you have found out from our board chairman, Mr. Mike Rausch, we are blessed that we are able to have a school year next year. So now you may be asking, what is left with the remaining 3 months of this crazy school year? Well, first and foremost, we want to ask you to go out and recruit for us. Go and tell your friends, your family, your neighbors, the random person at Starbucks about St. Mark's. Tell them about our ministry. Tell them about our website where they can learn more about us, as well as even schedule a tour. We have had over 20 tours here on our campus since November. God be praised that people in the Citrus Heights community are showing interest in our school. We also ask you to pray. Pray for the continued health and safety of our students and our faculty. We also are asking all of our students to continue their diligent work with their studies. We also have other events happening with the remainder of our school year. Students are currently working on the design of our theme logo for next year. We also will be working on different ways that we can celebrate Easter. On May 21st, we will also be having a spring performance in which selected students will be putting on a short play called The Adventures of Rose Red. We definitely are looking forward to the end of school year activities, such as confirmation, graduation, and even having our closing service. Things may look a little different this year due to COVID, but there is one thing that is for sure not different, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for supporting our school. Thank you for praying for our school. And thank you for all your words of encouragement. Our faculty truly needs it during this time. Lord's blessings to you, St. Mark's family. And remember to stay rooted in Jesus Christ.